Despite all this, she woke up every single day full of optimism, determined to have the best day ever. I have never seen anyone, child or adult, try as hard as my little girl tried. Every single day she tried to have one good day, and she could not have that. Everything that has occurred has been the direct result of retaliation against her for reporting a school assault. This is evidenced by the fact that even the adult caregiver of the girl who assaulted my daughter actively participated in the threat.
That was just a small statement by Liz Fittingen about her daughter and what her daughter has had to endure due to immense lack of action from the school board, cover-ups, deleted tweets, all sorts of things I'm going to give you a sample of here. But what I want this video to do is to signal boost this mom's plea to put pressure on the superintendent, who I will introduce you to, the superintendent's boss, who I will introduce you to. This is happening at Northley Middle School in Aston, Pennsylvania. Her daughter is a special needs student who reported somebody putting their hands on her against their will. We'll put it that way, right? And then reported it to her guidance counselor. And that really is what kicked off what has been years of just unrelenting, way over the top bullying from other kids at school. Now, bullying is a part of life, but this goes so far beyond it, including an actual hit list. It's gotten so bad that her daughter had slipped into deep depression, took up self-harm, ended up hospitalized. This is not people making fun of somebody for having a zit, right? The real failure here is that the family, the mother and father, have for years asked the school district to help to step in. And they've done nothing. Dozens and dozens of incidents have been reported to the principal. And the principal decided instead, and I'm not kidding, to try and commit the daughter involuntarily without even telling or talking to the parents. That's what's going on in this school district. Deleted tweets, trying to commit the actual person who's getting the bad thing, the actual victim. It's mind-blowing. The school has done nothing. The superintendent needs to go. Let me introduce you to a couple of the players here, okay? Let me introduce you to Dr. George Steinhoff at PDS Super. He is the superintendent in a video here where I'll show you where he's actually laughing when the father is talking about how it's affected their daughter. George Steinhoff, there was just a election there recently. They waited purposely to address any of this stuff because it would have cost him probably the election. This is somebody who has history, in archives here of deleted tweets, right? Where students push back against him about the stuff going on in the school, tweeting out, that it's not surprising in the slightest. Your administration has fostered an environment where these kind of threats are the norm, not to mention your horrible safety precautions. This one here, Sun Valley is straight up bad place to go. I always struggle with the school and obviously don't want to be there, but it's, there's that. There's a mention of one of these comments was mentions the actual hit lists. This was an actual tweet in regards to being locked down, but it got flooded with replies from students and parents about, the policies that the kids, have to deal with. Do you understand, that a lot of students are feeling unsafe and don't want to go back to school? This kind of stuff. Sun Valley will dismiss at 11 a.m. today. Stop bringing up the scoreboard. There seems to be a lot of corruption. And this guy, protect the kids or resign. There's teachers had to tie Chromebooks on chargers on the handles to keep doors shut. I mean, this is the guy in charge, right? So not only is obviously he just sucks at his job. It's clear, and the fact that he went to delete this tweet, because he was getting too much heat, tells you exactly what kind of gentleman this person is. So this is the superintendent. The boss is this individual, Leon Armour, an elected official with the power, as from what I understand, to get this guy to step down. These are the two major players, Leon Armour and Dr. George Steinhoff. You love that he puts doctor in there. What I do think is interesting is there's another clip here. This is the evening I begged the school board to help my daughter, who has been viciously bullied and put on a hit list. I had to pay $11 to share my statement in full here with her permission. This is what we took with us, all this evidence. And they're essentially trying to cover this up. Her dad also spoke about what their daughter had gone through, detailed the physical acts on the daughter in the elementary school until he went, he called the board's salary out and they kicked him out because the superintendent makes $250,000 and he doesn't like people pointing that out. You see the two men here sitting and laughing are the superintendent, George Steinhoff, and board president, Leon Armour. Board president is the guy that can get rid of George Steinhoff, from what I understand, or whatever. These two people need to go. You see, I'm posting these videos because last time we went to the board with this stuff, they removed the statements from the official video. That's why it's important to share this video. Leave a like on this video. It's not a great video to feel like liking, you know? I have more just to edit at the beginning where people state their addresses. The superintendent is George Steinhoff. The other man laughing and kicking her father out is Leon Armour. It's sick. This is a statement that the mother read, that the daughter wrote for the board. Statement from aunts, all this stuff. And by the way, this is one of the kids' aunts who is taking part in it. Calling a child.
I'm going to get you. You think you're safe and you're really not. You don't know who you're really messing with. Do you like clowns? Because I do.
That's a grown woman calling a child's phone. To everyone recommending going to the parents, this is a voicemail from the aunt / guardian of one of the girls left for my 13-year-old child. She forgot to block our number. So no, unfortunately, I don't see that helping. And of course, they've gone to the police, requested a copy of the police report. You know, you see here, obviously, the Discord server where they have a hit list. My daughter's name was added to a hit list created by four girls from the local high school and middle school in Delaware County. It's even labeled, quote, public hit list. I mean, this is so far beyond, and these losers on the school board don't care. You know, again, they posted the video and cut out my statement and left out all of the information about repeated multi-year in-school abuse and also incorrectly claimed it was because I shared privileged information about a student. I posted the entire video and I never named a single person. A direct cover-up, right? Direct cover-up. And these people do nothing. Leon Armour, Dr. George Steinhoff, again, Northley Middle School in Aston, PA. The principal, the student, everybody involved in this. And I'm going to leave a link to Liz's thread because she needs our support. Her daughter needs our support. And I think the best thing we can do is share the heck out of these videos and make sure they get out there and make sure people see these statements because it seems like these schools have systems in place, but they refuse to put them they refuse to act on them. They're waiting for this kid to die, essentially.
So you all heard what's going on with my kid, right? Sounds crazy. Like, there's no way that could possibly be happening in the school, right? Except pieces of paper that document everything were just handed to the solicitor that outlines not only how this started, but how after reporting this, it's an organized group effort to target and use terroristic threats. Because if you read the language that's written all on the Discord page involving these group of kids who are targeting and organizing this effort, that's exactly what it is. This isn't the first time I've stood here. Unfortunately, the last time I did, you guys reduced my comments, which I'm pretty sure is a violation of the Sunshine Act, when I stood here to talk about the physical bullying that was taking place with my daughter in school. Came here, talked about all of it. Two sentences is basically what got cut out of the video and what you guys put in. Not what I said, not what I talked about, just that I came and I had an issue and we talked about it. No details about it being a sexual assault with her being groped. No details about the fact that nothing was happening until I came here and went off.
They're covering it up.
Because apparently in this school district, that is the only way that the administration starts forcing people to do their job.
Yeah, we're, first of all, you're not going to attack the administration in the public setting.
Listen to this clown, right? What a clown. You're not going to attack the administration. This guy is probably, in my opinion, in possession of maybe the world's smallest penis. And you can just tell dude's on a huge power trip. Most of these losers on school boards are.
It's right in our bylaws. If you'd like to address the mayor of the board, that's fine.
Sure. We're here to ask for help. And it's pretty cut and dry. I mean, I know the video on the YouTube page. Again, you'll see that my comment is there, or that comment is there replacing what we had talked about. What the disclaimer doesn't tell you is that the bullying and misconduct was also a sexual assault. Another kid groped my kid in school. It was reported. Nothing happened. Then she was beaten with a fallen tree branch by a group of boys on school property. She was slapped in the face during recess because she mentioned something about a video game. She was also choked, strangled, actually, in class by another student. The disclaimer doesn't tell you that I spoke directly with $250,000 man about...
Now, $250,000 man is referring to how much this guy makes, and watch how sensitive he is about it.
How scared I was to send my kid to middle school that next year.
Ms. Montaluzzi, please have a seat.
It's Montaluzzo.
We're done. You're not going to address our superintendent that way.
Like, this guy, you know, like, this guy, I mean, what a clown.
Your time at the
podium.
That
is how much he makes.
Your
time at the podium is $232,000 a year.
That's a public knowledge.
Time at the podium is over.
That's fine. That doesn't mean I have to stop talking, though, right? Does anybody want to see a copy of all the deleted tweets and the deleted stuff that our superintendent put out when students responded to him asking for help during the last school
Here they're laughing, right?
shooting episode. They asked for help. It was ignored. One student asked for help for her brother.
I'm going to ask you to please be quiet or you can exit the room.
Sure.
What are you two laughing at?
They're
laughing at the...
No, this is serious shit.
Yeah, I know it is.
Sure.
Comments come from the post.
You got to tell the truth. You have to tell the truth, sir.
Dude, it's still not laughable. Yeah, my granddaughter's
These are your tweets that you deleted. These are tweets from students who reached out to you because they didn't feel safe, and you deleted it. He has his own Twitter. He's SPESD super.
What, about your daughter?
No, what I'm saying is this is a culture product. This is a culture of what is happening here. It starts at the top, goes all the way down.
Northley Middle School, Penn Delco, Dr. George Steinhoff is the superintendent, and this other... big tough guy is Leon Armore. All public figures and actively working to making school unsafe for children. Spread the word, friends. And if you can, please, if you made it this far in the video, maybe tweet I have an idea. If you tweet at Liz. She's at the Gingiarchy on Twitter. With like, let me think of a hashtag. Maybe we can, maybe we can send some love to her daughter. Maybe just tweet at Liz and use hashtag we've got your back, so she can share some of the positive messages with her daughter. I know that I probably have thousands of viewers in this immediate area that can mobilize and get out there and let people know what a loser both of these people are, in my opinion, and that they should be immediately step down. Let's do this. Get after it. This is an interesting news topic that was rumbling around the internet yesterday. As a fat, I feel like I can speak to this, from a position of authenticity, and share like an actual personal anecdote about traveling while you are very large. So a TikToker who apparently their whole life, you know, they've been told that big is beautiful and that there's nothing wrong with being. Look, I mean, there's being overweight, okay? And then there's like that next level where you have to like actively work to be that out of shape and that like gigantic. There aren't a lot of glandular problems that make people 600 pounds. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that's the truth of it. And this TikToker has now claimed that the airplane aisles are discriminatory because they're not big enough for them. Now, that argument could hold some merit until you see this individual. Now, they were doing this all for clout, I'm certain, but they have since deleted everything because, well, reality. Apparently their video, you know, kind of got out of their bubble. I can't fit in the plane aisle. It feels like discrimination. She hopes this idea is taking off. A plus-sized TikToker is arguing that airlines should make plane aisles wider to accommodate larger passengers, calling the current layout, quote, discrimination. The woman who posts on the platform as Big Curvy Olivia shared a video this week, and we're going to look at that, showing herself struggling to traverse a United Airlines plane. By the way, this is a big United Airlines plane. As somebody who is heavy, I purposely look at what planes I'm flying in so I know which ones have the most room. This is just common sense. But she is in a very large plane and still can't fit between the seats. Honestly, it's discrimination that they can't build wider aisles in airplanes in 2023, she wrote in the clip, which has nearly a million views. Now, let's take a look at the clip. Okay, so there is large, and then there is, you know, a whole nother level. Just a whole nother level. What happened to the, I think, the video. Oh, wait, yeah. She deleted the video, but, you know, the internet's forever. So we're going to take a look at this. Look, I want to tell you, like, what really spurred me to try and lose some weight, honestly, the God's honest truth, was the shame of asking for a seatbelt extender on an airplane. Like, it's just that it's very embarrassing. For me, that was my wake up moment back in April. It's like, dude, you know, and like, I'm nowhere near this large. I don't need to buy two seats on a plane. I can fit in first class seats just fine. I'm also 6'5", so that presents a different issue when you're flying, but like fitting in the bathroom. But this is the video. I mean, this woman is, I'm guessing, by the way, this is a huge plane too. You'll see here because it has such a big area. It has these first class, look at that. Like, it has these first class cubbies. It's almost like an international flight or from like New York to Hawaii or California. You might see a plane this big. This is a very large plane. When I fly out of Milwaukee, the only planes I get are 1x2s, one seat on the left, two on the right. I've never even seen these booths before. These like private suites that they sell. And they write, it's discrimination. They can't build wider aisles. Look, I'm trying to be sympathetic. You know, I don't want to be mean here. But if my luggage is 6 ounces over the 75-pound limit, they charge me $100. This is one of the most infuriating things about this stuff. And I'm a big guy, right? If my luggage weighs 6 ounces more than it should, they're going to make me take something out of it, or they're going to charge me $100 or whatever the heavy baggage fee is. This person, I'm not, probably weighs 600 pounds, 500-600 pounds. I don't know exactly. And like, by the way, there's nobody else on the plane. This is kind of weird. Like, it feels staged. Like, oh, I'm going to just get on this plane so I can show me struggling. To get this big is a choice. Okay, there's even in my weight, when I was at my heaviest, all of that was personal choices, you know? And like, look how big this plane is in the first place. A lot of the replies, ain't nobody tell you to get that big. you know, I'm not going to like make fun of her. But like, this is ridiculous. The idea that, you know, first of all, you're going to have to buy a second seat for a fact. You see this, honestly, it feels like discrimination. They can't build. The post reached out for comment. They end up deleting the video. Her post drew more than 5,000 comments with users divided over how to handle the situation. That's why I fly first class for business. I'm not as big, but I'm not small. Everyone is happy and I get peace, one user confessed. That's what I have to do. I make sure I book my flight. I book my flight by which one I can get first class, and I always take the single row seat. Like, I go out of my way to be accommodating because I'm bigger and I don't want to be like, you know, like my rolls aren't hanging over the edge, but like, I'm a big guy. And I go out of my way to find a plane or book a plane at a time in which I don't have to sit next to somebody. And I always upgrade to business, which nowadays isn't like first class, but it's a little bit bigger with a little bit more legroom. That's the tax that I have to pay, because I'm not going to make it everyone else's problem, right? Look, I'm a really big guy and I don't fit things in either, but I like to just accommodate and accept for that myself, another one declared. Right. Others slammed the woman as audacious for her audacious observation. Got a problem with it? Don't fly. How's this discrimination? Real talk. They should be accommodating for tall people. Yeah, I mean, I'm 6'5", and if you ever have been in the airport bathroom, think about being in one when you're 6'5". It ain't easy. Wider aisles means less seats. And that would be cutting into profits to accommodate the supersized woman. This wouldn't make sense. What's funny is like, there's actually a change.org petition with 9,000 signatures that says demand for the FAA to quote protect plus size passengers. To me, it's simple. You can see the size of this woman. She's clearly taking up two seats. You should have to pay for two seats. What do you mean? Like, I don't really understand the argument against it. If you don't like it, drive. To be honest with you, air travel right now is probably the least comfortable and the least, it sucks traveling now. It is post-COOF, it's the absolute worst. Every plane is jam-packed. They're late constantly. Connections get missed more than ever right now. Flying, if it's less than 8-hour drive, is a risk nowadays. It didn't used to be that way. But the idea that you should see the FAA should mandate that all airlines have comprehensive customer of size policy. Customer of size? This is just coming from like this generation of my problems are everybody else's problem. Airlines should offer a refund for customers of size who purchase additional seats independently. This should be a straightforward process that can be accessed online. No. If you take up two seats, you should pay for two seats. I don't really understand. You're talking about an airplane that has a fixed weight limit and fixed space limit. The idea that 10,000 people sign this is pathetic. Like, absolutely insane. Like, I'm saying this because I'm an exceptionally but naturally large person. I'm 6'8", that's tall, and I've always had problems with air travel. You don't have to, like, air travel is not a right. Like, being tall, I could actually understand that. Like, look, if I'm 6'8", and I'm thin, and there's some way you could accommodate me, like, you can give, you know, you can offer them more legroom because they can't fit in the standard seat. Like, that I might actually listen to, because you can't really control how tall you are. But again, you can be pretty out of shape and fly. You can be probably 350 to 400 pounds and not need two seats. I guess unless you're really, really short. But the idea that you would demand it is hilarious. Take some personal responsibility, for crying out loud. I've got some frightening news on a Friday. And this is exactly the kind of stuff I'm talking about with corporations who don't like the things that you say, who don't like your freedom of speech, being able to shut down your entire business. Look, yes, it's a private company and they can do as they please, but that doesn't mean I can't point it out. Now, Trigonometry is a very popular YouTube channel with two hosts, obviously Constantine and Francis. And they cover a lot of the same topics I do, but they're more professional and they get like real guests like Theo Vaughn and stuff like that. And they're a great channel. I'm subscribed to them. I enjoy their content greatly. I hate this stupid For You tab. But they cover a lot of the same stuff. Well, you know, Dan Crenshaw, the golden age of comedy stand-up, this kind of stuff. And the boys are funny. They have a podcast. Well, they are more like they are anti-establishment or anti-mainstream as well. But I would say they're pretty tame. They're extremely tame in comparison, I would think. But then they got this note, and I want to give them some shine here. So you should certainly follow them on Twitter and check out their YouTube channel, because I think it's really good. And also, This is the frightening thing. Like, this is why I started Coffee Brand Coffee. It's like, man, YouTube opinions can get your whole business shut down. Trigonometry tweets this out. Dear Oliver Prill, this is the CEO at Tide Bank. Could you please explain why your bank, Tide Business, is shutting down our bank account with no explanation despite a healthy balance and transaction history? You see this email. Hi, Constantine Kissen. After conducting a routine review on your account, regrettably, we are no longer able to offer you our services. Now, if this had happened in the United States, I don't know if you'd be protected better or not. I feel like this kind of thing has happened in the United States before. There's somebody on the tip of my tongue that got banned from their bank not that long ago. I know I covered it. Maybe you can remind me in the comments. Tide specializes in providing current accounts to small business owners in a variety of industries. However, there are some businesses we can't support at this stage in our journey. They're YouTubers. By the way, I'm going to be live streaming this afternoon, like around 3:30, 4 o'clock. I'm going to try to get them on if I can. As we develop our banking platform, we hope to be able to expand the range of companies we can support. But unfortunately, at this time, we will need to close your account. So this already looks fishy, right? So then they put, I'm sorry, then they write, despite numerous attempts to get clarity on the issue, we have been repeatedly fobbed off with non-answers. I assume that means blown off in their UK people. You are canceling our account. Why? Hi, Constantine. The decision to close an account is never made lightly. We're on a mission to help small business owners spend less time and money admin, and we want to enable as many small businesses as possible to do that. We offer accounts to small business owners in a variety of industries, but there are some business, like, what? Could you explain the actual reason you are canceling our account, please? Hi, Constantine. Our team, as previously mentioned, the scope of companies you're able to offer accounts for is a little more focused than your average high street bank, so certain businesses can't be supported. Your account was thoroughly reviewed, and the decision to close the account was not made lightly. Again, we're sorry for any inconvenience it caused, and wish you and your business all the best. What? Then he writes, thank you for your best wishes, but I have absolutely no clarity as to why you decided to close our account. We've always had a healthy balance on the account and maintained it in good standing. Can you please explain why exactly you have made this decision? What specifically it is about our account that makes us unsuitable for Tide Bank? You can find more information on the reasons we close accounts in terms of conditions. Please make sure to remove the remaining balance out of the account within the provided time frame and download any important information. Get your money out of our bank. So then he writes, so which specific reason is the reason you have decided to close our account? As previously mentioned, the scope of companies we are able to offer accounts to is a little more focused than your average high street bank, so certain businesses can't be supported. Like, what? And then before eventually being told, so then he writes, you still haven't answered my question. What is the specific reason you have decided to close our account? To which then they give up and say, hi, Constantine. Unfortunately, we are not able to provide any additional information. Please refer to our previous messages. Apologies for any inconvenience caused. What? So anyways, we would love to know what specifically it is about what we do that means we're not suitable for a bank account. We are confident our audience and the general public would also like to know. Yeah, absolutely. I don't even understand this. Ali Lunder writes, well, it's literally censorship because they don't agree with your opinions. I don't know. You know, they'll never say it out loud. I think in the United States, you might have more legal repercussions. I'm less familiar with the UK. Like I said, I'm going to try to get them on the show to see if I can figure that out. You know, we here at Tide champion diversity among our members and colleagues every day. During the month of Pride, we will be celebrating the LGBTQIA+ community. We are proud to have a diverse member base and team, and want to encourage greater diversity and entrepreneurship every day. So most likely, this is probably why they got suspended. Now, here's Tide Business responding. And they said, hey, we're sorry to hear this happening. This is happening. Our team is looking into the feedback you've shared. We're working on the matter with the highest priority. Right. Right, of course you are. Obviously, you know, it says, well, your business is done. By the way, I don't bank in the UK, but, you know, Tide Business, you know, hopefully they never, you know, if you have an account there or you know anyone who does, I would certainly recommend letting them know that this is not a good place. You see Leo Curse writing, Trigonometry's bank account has been shut down by Tide Bank. There's no reason given, but as Trigonometry is run by a Jewish immigrant and a man of Venezuelan heritage, there are strong suspicions that Tide Business are racist. I mean, the fact that Tide Business is like, oh, we'll look into it now, only after backlash. Claire Fox writes, shocking, scary, maybe a mistake, but I wanted to re-arbitrary power by banks in increasingly politicized activist banking sector when discussed in financial services bill after the dangerous precedent set by PayPal with the speech union and us for them UK. Inevitably, government ignored my amendment. This is Claire Fox. Okay. This is super scary. And this is like on a Friday afternoon. You know, and this is what happens, right? We've seen this with PayPal. You know, I have considered many times alternative plans of, you know, getting funding, right? In my lifetime, I will likely be demonetized by YouTube. I will also likely be suspended from YouTube at some point. The Overton window, the rules that we have to follow keep changing and evolving. So then what's next? PayPal, you know, they cut you off. MasterCard, Visa, American Express, so you can't run your websites. People say crypto is the answer, but I don't really know about that because the overwhelming majority of people don't actually deal in crypto, so you can't really run commerce that way. Something needs to change. You know, this is all down that whole social credit score, you know, rabbit hole and all this kind of stuff. But these guys do excellent work. They're very funny, entertaining people. And I've never really seen anything in their content that really felt extremely odd. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that they're even that conservative. So it's wild to me. My heart goes out to them. Hopefully they can find another bank. I'm going to try to bring them on the channel and get their word out. If at least I can tell people to subscribe to their YouTube channel and let them know I support them and I'm here for them should they need it. What's going on, everyone? Jeremy here from The Quartering with my favorite Friday video. It's a reminder to not drink Bud Light this weekend or any Anheuser-Busch products. Leave a like on the video if you agree. And to also help spread the word to friends and family who, you know, as barbecue season heats up here in the Midwest, if you see it at the barbecue this weekend, it's a great opportunity to ask your buddy who bought it when he's having his bottom surgery. But as the sixth week now data has been reported, not only is the sales crash being reported as much worse in the last week since the fiasco, but former Bud Light executives are coming and speaking out and saying that this isn't going away, that isn't going to go away for a long time. You have all sorts of stuff going on in the Bud Light fiasco, which I think is great. You have, you know, distributors issuing public pleas to try and bring back angry customers. Former Anheuser-Busch executives saying the backlash is not going away after sales drop for the fifth week in a row. I actually think we can do better. I think we can go a full two straight months of having additional reductions in sales. Their own Twitter account has not tweeted since April 14th. That is 5 weeks. I'm sorry. Yeah, almost 6 weeks they haven't tweeted. Zero Hedge Street's Bud Light sales crash getting much worse in the latest week since the original fiasco. You can see they can turn it around, release Mulvaney can as a gay gift. You know, I think Anheuser-Busch CEO still doesn't get it. This is the best real case example of bias. One small group with privilege and money sells products to a larger group of customers that slowly stop caring about. I think a great example is how Heckler and Koch handle it. They had that like former employee or I'm sorry, marketing manager or whatever tweet out something about how they agreed with Miller Lite and they agreed you know, that women were being taken advantage of by being beautiful and selling products, and that was a bad thing. But they, by the next day, they had issued a tweet. Actually, I can probably bring it up because I think it's a better example. Let's see, Heckler and Koch. Yep. So here they put this out, right? The road forward. HK does not engage in identity politics. A policy was violated. Changes were made. That's it. That's all they had to do. That's like literally all they had to do. And everyone let them off the hook. Most of them, people are joking about, you know, getting an MP7 or a VP9 or an HK45 or, you know, a 416 or whatever the case is. Like, everyone's just memeing, kind of saying, okay, cool, you fixed it, you know, move on. The other alternative was like Miller Lite's response, where, I mean, like it or not, they just said, nope, this is our ad. This is how it's going to be, like it or lump it. Now, I think there's a big difference between the Miller Lite ad and the Bud Light ad, where the Bud Light ad was just stupid. I'm sorry, Miller Lite ad was just stupid, but at least it didn't like insult women. It really just insulted men, which is culturally acceptable these days. The idea that beer wouldn't exist if it weren't for women is hilarious and absurd. But like that's, we're all kind of, men are used to that. Ooh, I think I broke the arm on my chair. Men are used to that kind of advertising. It didn't really hit that hard. But with Bud Light, like, you know, over the past month, it is now down 10%. I think today it came up a little bit, though. Yep, it's up 50 cents a share today. You know, I'm not sure why that's up. I assume, you know, people still make money. This is like Appalachian Brewery founders buyback company from Anheuser-Busch. Like, so these are people that wanted to get out of Anheuser-Busch, which is hilarious, and also based. Now, former Anheuser-Busch executive says Bud Light backlash not going away as Bud Light sales drop for the fifth straight week. Consumers, we already know. You know, Bud Light continued to see a decline in sales during the month of May as consumers revolt nationwide against the nation's top-selling beer over its controversial partnership with Dylan Mulvaney. With Bud Light, it was never part of the brand or part of the message, and I think that's what's upset so many people here. And that's why I think this boycott's going to go on for a lot longer than people give it credit for. This is a quote from a former exec. Compared to a year ago, retail sales of Bud Light in the United States were down 23.6%, and the week ending on May 6th, surpassing the 23.3% decline the brand saw the last week in April, according to data from Bump Williams Consulting, cited by the New York Post. There are two reasons that it's being successful, you know, and I think really the one reason is like real-time reporting, right? This is the real-time reporting, the real-time feedback that consumers need to stay interested and to stay on it. And there's like this whole meme economy of on Bud Light. You see Babylon Bee, to win back old customer base, Bud Light adds mullets to cans. I mean, it's hilarious. But then you see like these other ads. I don't know if this is necessarily an ad or just, you know, somebody trying to be supportive, but it's not helping.
All right, everyone. So it's Friday night. I'm getting ready to go out. This is the look. I'm feeling cunt. But before I go out, I've got a pregame. And the only way I pregame is with an ice cold Bud Light. So good. Happy Friday. All right.
What? I mean, again, like, I like that they didn't. Did they not even drink that?
Ice cold.
Hold on.
Bud Light.
Yeah, there was a little, but I think it like they just kind of like faked the sip. Like this is what happens now to Bud Light. There's all sorts of like there's a whole cut. Look at this. So here's Patrick Bet David.
All the way at the top. You got to get Tom the right kind of drink. Saville, can you please serve Mr. Ellsworth the proper drink? Tom, please stop mooning us and take your...
No.
What is it? We can't see it.
No, I won't even touch the bottle.
What? I can't see it. What is it?
Tom, just have a Bud Light.
No, I will not touch the bottle.
By the way, that should be twist off.
I will not touch the bottle.
Tom.
I will not touch the bottle.
Touch it.
No.
Are you being serious?
I'm being deadly serious.
What do you have a pretzel? Just a beer.
No, it's not a beer. You know how you make Bud Light? You know how you make Bud Light?
Tell us.
You let a horse drink Coors and put a bucket underneath and the horse filters.
It's just kind of boomer humor, you know? But, you know, this is all, again, you see me having an issue with Bud Light sponsorship. I mean, the post-millennial 2 hours ago, we're talking about the Ted Cruz thing, demanding. This is big. The Ted Cruz thing is big. It's like Ben Shapiro's integral of woke corporation monolith is to overwhelm you with the sense that they represent the inevitable victory of their ideology. They want to club you in acquiescence. Do not acquiesce. Begin picking battles and winning them. See example, Bud Light. Right. It says, when corporate interests begin to see there's no safety in numbers, the wall will crack. It already is. Don't stop. Like, people need to keep kind of pushing they have to be desperate, right? You have the camel print cans that they put out this week to try and, you know, remember Americans, you know? Here's 19 hours ago, Ted Cruz talking about it.
You've dealt with the border. You've dealt with the Durham report. Now I want you to deal with Bud Light. Quite a switch, I understand. But you're pushing for an investigation. What has you so worried about Bud Light?
Well, look, that's exactly right. I have to say, in the last month or so, I don't think I've seen a major company so alienate a major portion of their customer base, just seem to so misunderstand who it is that drinks Bud Light. But I also am very concerned. So in the last few days, I joined with Senator Marsha Blackburn and sent a letter to the CEO of Anheuser-Busch, who is also the chairman of the Beer Institute. The Beer Institute is the industry regulatory body that regulates beer sales. And in particular, what our letter focused on is their marketing agreement with Dylan Mulvaney, aside from being foolish marketing, was also, I believe, clearly targeting children. And there are strict constraints.
Oopsie, we talked about that. That's something that you're going to have to, you know, watch with the distributors. The idea that, you know, the people pushing that is not working, it's hilarious because there's a Bud Light sales crash getting much worse in the last week. Now, it's slowing down, but most of the people already left. You know, like most of the people already left. But this stuff isn't going away in terms of, you know, people roasting Bud Light. You know, now with this investigation going on, people are absolutely paying attention and pushing back against this stuff. Now, I don't want, you know, people to get too spread too thin to keep the pressure on Bud Light, but also, obviously, you know, every other multinational corporation that engages in this crap. But nonetheless, we just want to give everyone some good news going into the weekend. It's been a while since I reported on anything Star Wars. I wonder if my audience is even interested in it, to be honest with you. But this is pretty spicy, as the Disney has announced that their extraordinarily expensive Star Wars hotel has failed and will close just 1 year after opening, after trying to charge visitors up to $20,000 for a two-night, quote, voyage on a fake Orlando spaceship with no windows. Now, look, I understand why there aren't any windows. Immersion is kind of a thing. Like, you want to have that. But I always knew that this price was going to be, like, ridiculous. That, you know, you were going to get the whales for the first 6 months. The people that have an enormous amount of cash and, like, don't really care. You'd be surprised how good nerds are with their money. You know, like, I always grew up and, like, I spent a lot of time in card shops and stuff like that growing up. And, you know, like, we didn't spend our money on clothes or shoes or deodorant or colognes. But we always had money for, you know, buying a Mox Ruby or, you know, or like expensive Magic card or expensive D&D stuff. Or so, like, there are a lot of people that, maybe they're not rich, but they've been good with their money. They save up and they have that. But the expensive Star Wars hotel has failed. The Galactic Star Cruiser was originally hailed as, quote, an experience rather than a hotel. The expensive and immersive Star Wars hotel at Walt Disney Florida is closing after just 1 year of taking guests on the two-night voyage that could cost up to $20,000. Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser was originally sold as an experience rather than a hotel and cost $1,200 per person per day. However, one tricked-out suite has been reported to come in at a whopping $20,000 for the trip. An immersive lodging, the immersive lodging, which is based in Orlando, does not have any windows and will carry its final voyages out in September, 4 years after it was announced at the D23 Expo in 2019 as part of the park's $1 billion Star Wars land. The news of the closure just comes just months after DailyMail.com reported that Disney was struggling to fill up bookings in the first place and had reduced availability for the fall. Disney, under reinstated CEO Bob Iger, has made a multitude of cost-cutting choices, including cutting thousands of jobs, lowering ticket prices to attract more guests. While the news of axing the Star Wars hotel comes on the same day that Iger pulled the plug on the company's new $1 billion housing complex, for staff in Orlando in a move that many sees a possible slight against Governor Ron DeSantis. Here's the thing with the Star Wars. Here's the reality of the Star Wars, expensive Star Wars hotel. If they didn't screw it all up, they would have had no problem selling these. If they didn't alienate half of their fandom, they wouldn't have had nearly the problems they did renting out this room. That's just the truth of it. I've always said that I'm not like a hardcore Star Wars guy. I was more a Star Trek guy. I appreciate them both. But when Star Wars was a thing, I was playing Magic the Gathering and like D&D and other card games like Rage and other stuff like that. I was more interested in that stuff. Star Wars was always around me. But I was never like a diehard fan. So I wasn't personally offended when Disney destroyed the franchise. But many of my friends and viewers were. I mean, the things they did to Luke Skywalker, basically saying like, you know, it's like, is this all the spinoff of The Last Jedi? The movies, other than Rogue One, in my opinion, and I've seen all of this, you know, Disney Star Wars movies, are completely forgettable. Rogue One, I think, was like low-key my favorite. All the rest were rentals at best. Maybe you could say the very first one that they released was worth seeing in the theater, but not. I mean, everything else is pretty boring. The hotel, which is located near Disney World in Orlando, created major buzz when it first opened over its price and amenities. Included two-day expense is a cabin or suite, ongoing immersive entertainment, food and beverages in and out of space, and admission to Disney Hollywood Studios. A room can accommodate 3 adults and 1 child is priced at $6,000, not including taxes and fees. A cabin with 2 guests comes in at $5,000, while 3 or $4,800, while 3 comes in at $5,300. There is one suite referred to as a Grand Captain that holds 8 individuals, includes a kitchenette, a living room, and multiple bathrooms. The experience is also offered to guests a chance to jump into the Star Wars universe and partake in the resistance against Kylo Ren and the First Order. Galactic Star Cruisers also won a Theo Award for outstanding achievement in a themed entertainment space. Yeah, but nobody could afford it. Like, this is cool and all, but imagine spending this kind of money to sleep in a cubby. And like, the other thing is, how many little kids are into Star Wars? Not many. So it's like they tried to balance between the two things, you know, and plus they're selling you tons of stuff while you're there. The drinks are enormously expensive. In a statement Wednesday announcing the closure, Disney officials called Star Cruiser one of their most creative projects ever. So I've never seen Disney fail faster, though. It's one of our most creative projects ever. It's been praised by our guests and recognized for setting a new bar in innovation, but it failed. What are you talking about? The premium boutique experience gave us the opportunity to try new things on a smaller scale of 100 rooms. And as we prepare for its final voyage, we will take what we've learned to create a future experience that could reach more of our guests and fans. Meaning, you know, that you can't build a business charging $5,000 for a week, for 2 nights, by the way. And also, the other thing is, when you go to Florida, you let's say you're going to stay 2 nights in the Star Wars hotel, you're probably staying 4 or 5 nights in a different hotel too. Not everybody lives in Florida. And imagine like driving 6 hours to stay in there for 48 hours for $5,000. Like, there better be some sweet handy action. Otherwise, I don't even understand. You'd have to be like, hey, look, spend your money how you want. I'm not like trying to be that way about it, but it's actually insane if people were paying $5,000 for this. I mean, I think it was cool. If there was something like in the Magic the Gathering universe, like Dominaria or something like that, would I spend $2,000? $2,000 maybe, but $2,000 would have to be like 3 or 4 days and nights and have like excursions and stuff like that. And come with like super special limited edition magic cards that have a secondary market value. This kind of stuff. In March, Daily Mail reported the booking portal for Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser showed reduced rates during October, November, December, Christmas time, when everyone goes to Florida. At the time, the reservation system showed a hotel was taking bookings for just 3 or 4 times a week. The video pulled from YouTube. Now, in the end of 2022, Disney was offering discounts up to 50% for the experience in December, Disney deleted a promotional video showing the hotel. The video was pulled from YouTube and Twitter due to negative comments. The lightsaber training looks about as exciting as a roadside sobriety test, one tourist wrote. Another wrote, way too expensive. This is like an idea that could have worked. An idea that could have worked if they didn't alienate half of their fans that actually had the money to go. You know what I mean? Like, the people that actually had the money to go are the people that were in love with the original trilogy and even the prequels they liked. You know, like, these people are in their 30s and 40s and 50s, and they have the money. The people, and they just ran them all off with The Last Jedi and this crap. Of course, the politics, too. You know, when you talk about, you know, what's going on there, you'll see it'll be the whole park if they continue to charge obscene prices for tickets. I get that it's not easy to keep everything at a certain standard, but you can't expect blue-collar people to keep paying more and more and more. Well, I don't even know how people afford it. You know, you can be smart about going to theme parks. My family always did. Like, we didn't eat in the park. We'd eat in the parking lot. We'd eat breakfast. We'd go to, like, a buffet for breakfast, and then we might have lunch in the park, but then we'd leave to go eat dinner. That's how middle class, that was like 20 years ago. That's how middle class people enjoyed these parks. I don't know how they do it now, because it's got to be extremely expensive. This was doomed from the start, but I still say it would have worked if they didn't try ripping everyone off and if they didn't alienate half their viewers. Make sure to check out coffeebrandcoffee.com with promo code DELISH today on Friday. I'd love if you gave us a chance to earn your business, and we'll talk to you again real soon.